We now begin the second parak of Maseches Avos. This is parak base, Mishnah Aleph 2:1, and we're coming to the end of the chronology of Tanaim. Meaning here we've got Rebbe. Rebbe is Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi, the author of the Mishnah, or the primary redactor of the Mishnah, if you will. There's a lot to say about Rebbe, of course, but this Mishnah is actually very long and complex. It's like four Mishnahs rolled into one. So I'm going to save the biographical vignette stuff for a little later, for a different Mishnah. Here we have Rebbe saying a number of things, and the reason why he's sort of first in this parak, even though he's sort of last in terms of chronology, is because he's just of central importance, and we want to establish that, of course. Rebbe is the great Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi, who was like the teacher of all of Israel. He's called his Rebbe because he's, like, without any further ado, he is everyone's master. Now, he says a number of things. The first question of the four topics he deals with in our Mishnah here is the all-important question, Rebbe Omer, Ezuhi derech yishara sheyavor lo ha'adam. What is the path a person should choose in life? One more important question could be than that. Now, he answers it, Kol shi teferes lo'oseha, whatever is a credit to the one who does it, like sort of intrinsically in his own, between him and himself, he knows this is, I'm worthy of myself and my time and my stature and my potential, but also v'tiferes lo min ha'adam. It's also a credit to him in the eyes of other people. Meaning, Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi is telling you that social feedback is an important cue to understand if you're doing the right thing. It's not just good enough to be good and do good. It should be evident to everybody that you are, you know, on the up and up, that you are a good person. And if people are displeased with your behavior, so then it's not good enough that, you know, in your heart you're doing the right thing, you did nothing wrong, you're not doing everything quite right because people are not approving of your behavior. And obviously, you can't seek approval to decide what you're going to do. But the point is that there needs to be a balance here, a balance that a person who is choosing the right path in life will also be, looked at in a positive light by other people in general. Now, the most basic question to ask here is, what's the scope of this question? In what context does he mean, you know, the derech yeshara shivra adam? What's the path a person should choose in life? So there are those, like the Tiferes, who will understand this talking about like all aspects of life. He divides life into three categories. He talks about derech chiyuvav, the path of one's obligations, we're talking in Torah and mitzvahs, as well as derech hamidos, his character, as well as what he calls derech eretz. These are sort of his, like, socialization, that he knows to brush his teeth in the morning, you know, and not cut in line and that kind of thing. And in all these things, a person should do what's right and a credit to him in his own mind, what he knows is the truth, klapei shemai, and, you know, at the same time, it should be the kind of stuff that people, you know, are, he does it in a way that is acceptable and perhaps even enjoyable or approved by others. Now, there are a number of Meforshim, let's focus on Tosfos Yom Tov here, who says, we can't be talking about things like mitzvahs because we're saying sheyavor. Yavor means to choose, like the borer is to like select, like in the malacha. Yavor is like that. It's what path should a person choose in life, and you can't choose your path in Torah mitzvahs, says he, Tosfos Yom Tov. And therefore, this is going to be limited to midos. And that's how the many, like the Bartonor and others, learn that this talk is specific on midos, and the notion of derech yeshara, the straight, like straight and narrow path, really is understood based by many, many, many of the Mefarshim based on the Rambam's approach. The Rambam has a very unique approach. It's central to his worldview and his approach to Kol Torah Kulo in a way. So that's how the Bartonor learns and the Rambam. So we're going to explore the Rambam a little bit because I think it's very important here. The Rambam understands that let me read you inside here. So the Rambam, in his Sefer Hamad, the first of the 14 books of the Yad HaChazaka, has the Book of Knowledge, which you need to know is sort of like the basis of Torah in terms of what's going on inside your head. So the first of the four sub-books, Hilchoses, is Yesod HaTorah. Those are like the foundations of Torah. Then the next thing he talks about is Hilchos Deos, which is something like mindsets, okay? We can call it midos, but deos really means like sort of one's attitude in his head, his sort of mental framework. And that's going to precede even Hilchos Talmud Torah, okay? Like, this is like, you know, derech eretz kadem latorah. A person has to be sort of socialized and get his attitude, his perspective right before he even approaches anything else. And right at the beginning, the first chapter of Hilchos Deos by Halacha Gimel already, he talks about how Shtei Ketzavot HaRachokot Zu Mizu Shebekol Deya V'deya. Every personality trait has like two extremes. Ve'einan Derech Tova. It's not good to be, it's not the Derech Tova, the word Derech of our mission is the Derech here. It's not a good path. Ve'ein Roy Lo La'adam Lechas Ben Lo La'amdan La'atma. And it's, a person should be at either extreme is bad news. You don't want to be, I'll use the example that the Bartunur brings the way through here. He talks about, in terms of one's attitude to money. So you could be a spendthrift, you know, a wastrel, and, you know, giving away your money to everybody and spending on everybody. That's one extreme. Or you could be a total, you know, miser, super stingy, spending money on nothing, on the other extreme. And the Rambam's point is, neither of those are ever going to be good. And this is true for every personality trait. You want to be somewhere in the middle, as the Rambam says. I'll explain here. He says explicitly, I'll read it to you, it says, he says, "V'imata tivo no to la'achas mehen." If your nature is to lean in either direction, "O muchan la'achas mehen," or you're sort of a predisposition to one of those ways, either extreme, "O shekvar laman achas mehen v'nahagba," or if just you've become accustomed by habituation, by habit, to behave in one way or the other, sort of having changed how you used to be, but now you're that way, "Yachzer atzmo lamutov," you have to rectify yourself, "V'yelech b'derech hatovim," and walk on the path of the Tovim, of the good people. This is the good life. Vehi haderech hayashara, and that's called the derech hayashara, the straight path. And that derech hayashara, of course, is the word in our Mishnah over here. So the Rambam is saying that the straight path, the yashar, the path of the, you know, mesilas yasharim, which is this very similar word, translated as the path of the just in English, oftentimes, or the upright. So the path of the upright, of the just, is the people who walk in this middle path and neither extreme, says the Rambam. And now, the Rambam goes on to define this at great length. He says, Haderech HaYishara, this is Halacha Dalet, Perek Aleph. So he's defining our Mishnah here, what it means to be on the straight and narrow path, the Derech HaYishara. He Mida Beinonis, it's the middle way, Shebechol Deya V'deya, between each of the two extremes in every, you know, in every dimension of personality, Mikol HaDeos Sheyesh L'Adam, and all the different aspects of a person's personality. It's the attitude, it's the perspective, it's the trait which is at the extreme distance from both of the extremes. So it means in the very middle, far from both edges. It's exactly in the middle, not in any way a little bit closer to one or the other. Meaning you're exactly in the middle in terms of your generosity. You're not anywhere, you're equidistant from stinginess, and you're equidistant from, being a profligate wastrel, being a spender, being a glutton, whatever. Being a spender, a wastrel, someone who's a spendthrift, throws his money away. Lefikach, and therefore, tzivu chacham harishonim, the early wise men commanded, shehe adam sham deosav tamid, that a person should sort of appraise his midos, his character, on an ongoing basis, okay? Now, fascinatingly, the word yavor, like from our Mishnah, has implication of sort of like a little bit of measuring as well. U'mishaer osan, u'mechaven osan b'derech ha'emtzait, says the Rambam, you should sort of estimate, appraise your character in each dimension, and align yourself in the middle path. Kedei shehei shalem b'gufo. So you should be shalem, like whole, complete, at peace, in harmony, begufo, with your begufo, and your person, your body. And so this is amazing, right? A lot to be said here. Ketzad, so he gives examples. Now the examples he gives, I'll stick to the example I gave before, which is you should be exactly in the middle between being a spendthrift and being a miser. So you're just sort of generous. That's one of the examples he gives. He gives lots of examples. And the end of it, he says, and if you're going one way or it's the other, so then you should sort of move yourself toward the middle again. V'derech zu, and to comply with this, to sort of make sure that each of the dimensions of your personality are right in the middle, it's derech hachachamim. That's the way of the wise, which is also very peculiar. The Rambam's calling this, you wouldn't think this would be the way of a tzaddik, of the righteous, of the holy person, of the, you know, perfected person, but not of the wise person per se, which is strange. So I asked Rav Yaakov Weinberg Zatzal, once upon a time, I asked him what the Rambam has in mind. This is a halacha sefer, and it sounds like he's talking like mathematically. You sort of could somehow like get a measuring stick and measure out your midos and decide like you exactly 50% tile in every aspect. It seems like sort of impracticable. It's not realistic. That's not how, you know, that's not how my mind works. Sort of seems a little more like, you know, subjective and qualitative, not so quantitative. So he answered to me the following explanation, which I think is very important. The point of the Rambam here is that when a person approaches whatever the decision to be made is, for this particular instance, the circumstance, so the point of the Rambam is that you shouldn't come with any natiya, any inclination, any leaning based on your, you know, your just your basic personality or your inclination or your temperament or your habit. No. You should approach every situation governed by, now, what to do in the situation? The decision should come from what goes on in your brain. And you say, listen, what is the Torah's values? What's the right thing to do here? And then based on that, you make a rational decision to do, you know, should I, you know, help this guy out and give him charity and support him? Or should I, you know, let him to be self-sufficient and sort of not? But it's not about I'm a generous person or I'm a stingy person. No. I'm not any of those things. I'm exactly in the middle. And I'll be generous when the opportunity calls for it. And I'll be, you know, tight pursed, tight lipped, tight fisted, tight whatever it is, not sharing if I think that's what the situation calls for. And so that's why it's called the Derech Chachamim, because the Chacham is someone who leads with his head, not with his, you know, his heart or his emotion or his habits. Okay? And so that's the Rambam's understanding of this Derech Yishara of our Mishnah, that a person should choose in terms of the midos a way which is balanced. And the idea of it being, if a person, let's stick to this example of how he relates to money. So if a person is generous, but not too generous, and not, you know, frequently stingy, even though he's supposed to be generous, so he's in the middle exactly. So that's good for him because he, you know, has a good relationship with himself and his money. And also people will like him because he's a generous guy. He's not too stingy, you see? So if it'd be too much of a spender, of a wastrel, so people will like him because he's buying them gifts and presents and drinks and who knows what. But he himself is like, you know, impoverishing himself. He's working at his own detriment. So that's not fair or slow. But if he, you know, would be sort of just like a miser and look out for himself and not be kind to other people, that might be good for him in a vacuum, but other people would not look kindly upon him. So that's the idea of the Rambam here and how the Rambam understands the Mishnah, how the Bar Tzvi understands the Mishnah. I'll just explain at the real philosophical bedrock of this Rambam, because I think it's sort of central to the Rambam and an important point here. The Rambam understands that the mitzvah of rectifying your character, tikkun hamidos, is from the mitzvah of lehidamos b'drachav, to emulate his ways, imitat yodeo, to like emulate Hashem, to be godlike. And since the Rambam explains elsewhere at great length that Hashem doesn't, just like he doesn't have a body, he also doesn't really have like emotions per se, but when the verses say Hashem's hand or Hashem's foot, he doesn't really have a hand or foot. It's sort of metaphorical as if he did. When it says Hashem is angry or sad or whatever it is, so that's also not, he doesn't experience emotions actually. Just based on the actions that Hashem is doing, you can impute, well, this is how a person would behave if they were angry, and this is what Hashem seems to be doing in terms of Hashgachos. That indicates that Hashem is like, you know, so to speak, displeased with what I'm doing. But it's just so to speak. Hashem doesn't have that. He just wants me to realize that, get the message. So since in truth Hashem, like from the Rambam's perspective, doesn't have any emotions. He's like just pure, you know, intellect or ratzon or will. There's no word for Hashem to describe him. But the point is, the notion is, a person should be like Hashem in the same way, that he's not all governed by his emotions and by his habits, but rather everything is happening is based on values of right and wrong, you know, and reason, as opposed to, you know, any sort of emotional predilection. That's the Rambam's approach, big gadol. So that's the Rambam's approach here in the first mission. That's what the Bar Tanur explains like that as well. Obviously, much more to say about that, but we're going to go on to the next part of the Mishnah because there are four parts of the Mishnah. The next part of the Mishnah says, "Vehevi zahir be mitzvah kala kebuchamura." You should be careful with like an easy mitzvah as like a more serious mitzvah, a heavy duty, heavyweight mitzvah. So now we've transitioned from talking about tikkun hamidos, how you should behave and how you should act in general, to how you should relate specifically to mitzvos. And according to many, we're talking about here mitzvos aseh, positive commandments. And the reason why we say that is because the Mishnah goes on to say that you should be careful with the kala kebuchamura, because you should be careful with the easy and light mitzvah, like the heavyweight mitzvah. She'ein ata yodea matan scharen shel mitzvos. You don't know the reward of the mitzvos. And the truth is, when it comes to mitzvos lo sa'aseh, the prohibitions, we do know the consequences. There are punishments, specific punishments. There's a hierarchy of punishments. Sometimes there's no punishment. Sometimes it's restitution. Sometimes it's actually malchus, lashes. Sometimes there's a premature death, or execution, different types of execution. So there's a hierarchy. But in mitzvos aseh, you don't know. Positive commandments, you don't know what the reward is, and therefore the point of the Mishnah here is take all your mitzvahs with equal seriousness. There's no such thing as a non-important mitzvah, as you don't know what the reward is. What you think might be inconsequential actually is very consequential. Now there's a question to be asked here, and the question is, there's actually a Mishnah elsewhere in Chulin which says kind of exactly not like this. Okay, the Mishnah in Chulin essentially says, in the context of Shiluach HaKein, the mitzvah of chasing away the mother bird before taking the eggs, so there it says, it calls that a mitzvah kala, an easy mitzvah. And it says sort of that the reward will be greater for the chamuros, more serious mitzvahs. Mishnah says, I'll read the Mishnah inside, basically it says, Uma'im mitzvah kala shehi isar, when it comes to a light easy mitzvah that's just worth like an isar, is like a dollar. The point is, you're chasing with the mother bird, so you're losing a dollar worth of bird, right? That's your cost. It's easy, just no big deal. Amra Torah, yet the Torah says, the pasuk on the mitzvah Shiluach HaKein says, Laman yitev lach barach tayamim. Do the mitzvah so that it'll be good for you, and you'll have a lengthening of days. So that's a reward. And then the Mishnah there in Chulin says, Kol v'chomer al mitzvah sachamura shebatorah. All the more so, the chamur, the serious mitzvahs, how much the reward will be. So you see, there's sort of less reward or more reward for these as well. So how to say we don't know the reward of mitzvahs? That's a question. So there are different answers. Tosfos Yom Tov brings the Derech Chaim, that's the Maharal, who explains this. I think is very important to understand that when it comes to one's fulfillment of mitzvahs, there's really two separate dimensions. Okay, the sechar of the mitzvah, anyways, the reward. One is the sechar on the etzem mitzvah, the actual act. In other words, when you put on tefillin, it's good for you. It does something for your soul, and that's I don't know what it does, but it's good. Same when you eat matzah, okay? Now, I don't know what's better or worse for your soul, eating matzah or wearing tefillin, but that's the point of our Mishnah here. There's a second dimension to schar mitzvahs, to the recompense one gets for doing mitzvahs, which is a function of the effort, the tircha, right, that you put into it, the sacrifice, the hard work that you put into the mitzvah. So that's a separate dimension, and that's the dimension of the Mishnah there in Chulin. Meaning, it's not much of an effort to chase away a bird, just go boo and it flies away, right? It's not much of a sacrifice to forego the mother bird, because it's just cost an isar. It's like just a, what's a pigeon worth, a dollar or something. So the point is that the Mishnah in Chulin is saying, it's an easy mitzvah, and therefore the tircha, the effort required, is minimal, and therefore the reward is still, and look how great the reward is, all the more so for our mitzvahs that are hard to fulfill. But that's not talking about what our Mishnah is talking about, which is the intrinsic benefit that a mitzvah confers upon a person, upon a soul, upon the universe, that we just don't know. Okay? And of course, a corollary of that is that for every single person, what's involved in a mitzvah is different, right? Some people, it's easy for them to spend money on mitzvah. Some people, it's difficult. Some people, it's easy for them to be patient, and their time, they don't take their time so seriously, so things take a long time, they don't get panicked. Other people are always in a rush, and therefore things that take time are more difficult, and so on. Okay, so everyone's got their own challenges, and we can't judge, certainly, but Hashem does judge, and the reward for one's mitzvah observance is largely a function of his personal challenge. Lufum tzara agra, according to his challenge or his suffering, his effort, is the reward. Now, the Rambam has a slightly different take on this Mishnah, because, what would be and therefore what to do? What the halachic implication of this Mishnah? So the Rambam understands that this principle of not knowing the reward of mitzvahs, therefore take the lesser one secret as seriously as, I'll call it the chamura, the more heavyweight one, is there's a basic principle of kola osik b'mitzvah patur mina mitzvahs. Anyone who's involved doing one mitzvah, he doesn't have to, like drop it, or you shouldn't drop it to go do a different mitzvah. If you're involved in doing mitzvah A, another mitzvah comes along, mitzvah B, and you have to choose. So say, listen, I'm involved in A, I'm exempt from B. Let me finish my job doing A, and then B I can't do. Too bad. So you shouldn't say, oh, B is more important, I'm going to drop A to do B. No, don't do that, because you just don't know. You don't know what the significance is of this particular, you've been tasked with, you know, delivering a message you said you would, now you got to do it. You're visiting Rebbe on the Yom Tov, so that's a nice thing to do, it's a good thing to do. So you don't know how important that is. So you should continue on your mitzvah and not get sidetracked with a different mitzvah. Because you just don't know the benefits that the mitzvah you're currently doing is working, so therefore you're not justified, it's not rational to switch to do another one. Okay, that's the second part. The third part of the Mishnah here, is mitzvahs in general. And the case here, the context of this part of the Mishnah is when a person's in a crisis, he's facing the Yetzirah, okay? And he's about to either not do a mitzvah's aseh or yes, do an avera. So what should he do? So the Mishnah gives you advice. It says, Vehevi mechashev hefsed mitzvah keneged schara. You should calculate the loss you have involved in doing this mitzvah, weighed against its reward. In other words, this mitzvah is going to cost money. You say, I'm not going to spend the money to do it. So you think, listen, the hefset is I'm going to lose, you know, $50. The gain is I'm going to get eternity. And based on that, you're going to say, okay, it's worth it after all. Or similarly, uschar avera keneged hefseda. If you're considering doing some kind of avera, you're planning cutting corners and, you know, cheating on your whatever and save yourself $50, think, okay, good, I'll save $50 by cheating this guy, but you know what? The hefset is I have eternal consequences. And the idea is that since the consequences, both reward and punishment, are in the hereafter, are nitzchi, they're eternal, they're infinite. So of course, if you think of that, it'll make you realize that cutting corners here, it's just not worth it. Okay, that's a sort of an acute moment when you're facing the Yetzirah and the strategy of how to, you know, fight the Yetzirah. Now there is a question to be asked here also, which is we said back in the previous parak, Mishnah Gimel, and Tignus Ishsocho said that the right way to serve Hashem is not for the sake of the reward. You should serve specifically not for the sake of the reward. So here in our Mishnah, this clause in the previous section is talking about like thinking about the schar mitzvahs and weighing the benefits against the losses, which sounds not like Antigonus at all. So what gives? So the short answer is, yeah, because back there in the first parak, Antigonus is saying kind of lachachila, an ideal situation. And here we're talking b'dieved. So ideally, you should, you know, serve Hashem out of love, the right thing, because you love Hashem, because you want to be with Him and do what He wants, and the calculus regarding what you get out of it is not relevant. That's being Ovid Meir, as we explained over there. But the person in our Mishnah here is not holding by that. The person in our Mishnah is considering doing an Avera. So the topic of loving Hashem or not is not the discussion here. You know, he's choosing between, you know, lazy, not doing a mitzvah sase. So now we're going to shift into the other mode of, well, think about the being Ovid Meira, that you're keeping the straight and narrow. You should make sure you don't do the wrong thing and think about what you're going to lose out by, you know, by failing to do this mitzvah or doing this avera. And as I said back there in Mishnah Gimel, the previous parak, and the Rambam emphasized, the Ramchal emphasizes, everyone emphasizes that Av and Yira have to go together. Sometimes it's Av, sometimes Yira, and the Rambam himself said that even in terms of the ideal of Antigonus, of serving not for the sake of the reward, is only like Malas at Tzadikim, it's like a super high level, not everyone reaches to, not every Chacham gets there. So it's aspirational back in Gimel, but here's something more practical, brass tacks down here on planet Earth, for all of us on a day-to-day, how to sort of fight the Yetzirah. Okay, the last part of the Mishnah says, V'istakel b'shlosha devarim, if you have three things, keep three things in sort of your mind's eye, v'iyata balidei avera, and then you won't come to sin. Da malamala mimcha, you have to just know what's above you. And these are the three things. Ayin ro'a, an eye that sees, v'ozen shomas, an ear that hears, v'chol ma'asecha b'sefer nechtavin, and everything you do is written in the book. Now, obviously this is purely metaphorical, okay? There's nothing above you, Hashem's not more above you than below you, and Hashem doesn't have eyes or ears or a notebook, so it's all metaphorical. But, while the previous section of the Mishnah, part 3 we'll call it, is in a moment of crisis, you're facing a decision to do an avera or not do a mitzvah, this is something more general. This isn't about in the moment of crisis. This is in general. If you want to train yourself to be someone who serves Hashem and doesn't fall into the traps of the Yetzirah, you got to meditate on this kind of on a regular basis. Think of like the first halacha of the Ramah and the Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim, that Shavis Hashem Nedi Summit. You remind yourself all the time Hashem is with you, and that will have an impact on you. So remind yourself all the time that Everything you do matters. Hashem sees it. Everything that you say matters. Keep your mouth shut because it's heard by Hashem. And that will train you not in the moment when you have to say something, because of course you know Hashem hears, but you're doing it anyways. The point is, you train yourself to be sensitive to how you behave and how you speak, because you know Hashem is sort of watching and listening, you know, so to speak. The third part of this is that everything's written in the book. The chol maasecha b'sefer nechtav literally means all your acts are written in a book. The idea here is a little different. It's not just that, you know, Hashem, you know, sees what you're doing, hears what you're doing, you can't hide from Hashem. That's true. But there's a separate aspect, which is sort of like a psychological aspect. We feel we were given the gift of sort of forgetfulness. So over time, every day we start a new day and we feel like it's a new, fresh day and we kind of forget yesterday's, you know, bad stuff and move on. That's a great thing. But you have to know that if a person did an Avera, so that Avera sort of lives on, the impact of the sin is still there and doesn't go away. Even if he did it when he was 21 years old, and now, you know, he's much older, as far as Hashem's concerned, like it happened this morning. There's no difference between this morning and, you know, and 20 years ago to Hashem. So that being the case, you have to know that everything you did is still on the books, not going anywhere. You have to address your shortcomings, you have to change yourself, and you have to do tshuva. You have to fix those sins. You can't just ignore them. They won't go away by themselves. And to the contrary, you'll have to give din v'cheshbon in the end. So therefore, don't forget what you did in the past. You can't just move on and forget about it. You have to address it. And the way we address it in tshuva, and there's specific, of course, there's a talich, a process for tshuva. But the point is, know that everything you did in the past is still there and needs to be rectified and reckoned with. You can't just ignore it and move on.